Record. There we go. Okay. Okay, we're in Shmuel Bet.
Rabbi, you're frozen.
Al Aliyas Hashar, he went up to the top of the gate. There was a little roof on top of the gate. Vayevk, and he cried. He cried. Veko Amar, and this is what he said. Belechto, as he went up. Bini Avshalom, Bini Avshalom, Miyitein Musi Ani Sachtecha, Avshalom, Bini, Vini. So he says, Avshalom, basically Avshalom, Bini. You know, you'll say, I mean, it's, if you count it, how many times does it say Bini in that pasuk? 8 times. So he says Bini 8 times. It's like a person who's mourning and who just cries out, you know, why, oh, Avshalom, oh, Avshalom, oh, Avshalom, right? Now that's what he's saying again and again and again. He sticks in there one little idea. Miyite musi ani sachtecha. Right? Halavai, I would have been killed instead of you. Halavai, I would have been killed instead of you, says David about Avshalom. Now again, the pshat is that he's mourning. He's in agony over a distress over the loss of his son. That's why he's repeating Bini, Bini so many times. Now, he's crying and mourning, says the Malbim, for two main reasons. Number one, if you remember, Avshalom never wanted to kill David. We've said this many times. Avshalom rebelled. Avshalom staged a coup. Avshalom never wanted to kill David. And that's why the Malbim says that it keeps saying, Bini, my son, meaning you were my son. You weren't cruel. You didn't want to come kill me. You were my son. You loved me. And then he repeats, my son, right? That you were my main son. You were the one who was going to take over for me, right? Avshalom could have taken over for him. We know Shlomo was destined to take over for him, but Avshalom could have taken over for him. So he's saying, my son. So that's number one. Number two, and this is fascinating, says the Malbim. This is something that we've seen before in the Malbim. Why did David think that this all had happened to him? That Avshalom rebelled and staged the coup. David blamed something. What did he blame?
Himself.
He blamed himself. We learned this before. David blamed himself. He blamed his own chataim, he blamed his sins, and he felt that this was the reason why this was all happening. This was the reason why this was taking place. So, yes, this is exactly what the Malbim says. So he says, this all happened. My son was killed because of me, because of my sins. So says the Malbim, this is not just crying and mourning over the loss of Avshalom, that it was. But it's also because he felt responsible. He felt that it was his fault. He felt that this whole thing happened because of his chatoim, because of his sins. It's on my head. And that's why he says, Avshalom, Bini. Right? Bini, Avshalom. Why does he say his name Avshalom so many times? Avshalom, because you were a tzaddik. You were Avshalom, you were a tzaddik. The problem was because of me. You died because of my sins, not because of your sins. Because of my sins. And that's why he was so distraught. Now, why the 8 times? So again, Pashup shot 8 times, he's just crying. Avshalom b'nei, Avshalom b'nei. But Rashi quotes the Medrash and other Mefarshim also here. The Chazal say that as he was crying and mourning, he was actually lifting Avshalom's neshama out of the 7 depths of Gehenna. That Avshalom had sunk to the lowest place in Gehenna because of what he did to his father. And as David HaMelech is crying and mourning his loss, he's raising his neshama one level at a time until finally the 8th, he finally pushes him into Gan Eden, into Olam Haba.
Did David not do that?
I don't know.
Because that would look, then he would, if you knew that he was doing it, then it would, then David would feel that Avshalom did something wrong, deserved.
Exactly. Yeah. He did still rebel against the king. Right? He rebelled against the king, so he deserved punishment. Yes, exactly. Right. It's both. It's kibbutz. It's kibbutz. It's also because he was the king. It's a confluence of different reasons here. 100%. Says the Malbim. That's why the pasuk says vayal al aliyas hashar. Literally, vayal aliyas hashar just tells us where he went. He went to the roof on top of the gate. Says no vayal. He's raising Avshalom's neshama. That as he's crying, as he's mourning, he's raising Avshalom's neshama from the depths of Gehenna. Okay, now, so this is a pretty standard reaction for someone who loses his son, right? You know, people would understand. No, Yoav doesn't like this. Pasuk Beis, Vayugad leYoav, Hinei HaMelech Boche. So they tell Yoav, and Yoav, of course, is the general who had orchestrated Avshalom's death, and Yoav is upset. Vayis Abel, I'm sorry, we don't read that yet. Vayugad leYoav, Hinei HaMelech Boche, Vayis Abel al Avshalom. So they tell Yoav, the king is crying, and he's mourning over Avshalom. Now, Yoav is not happy. We'll see in a minute why. The Malbim explains exactly why he wasn't happy. Oh, but before we do that, the Malbim says here that, if you notice, the Pasuk says two things. David was crying, Hinei HaMelech Boche, and then Vayisabel al Avshalom. And says the Malbim that this is the reason why Avshalom was upset. Because he expected that David would be sad. That he expected. David should be sad. That makes sense. You lose your son, you're sad. However, he did not expect David to mourn. Why? Because the halacha is that if someone is killed by Beis Din, you don't sit shiva for that person. Someone dies a regular way, you sit shiva. If someone's killed by Beis Din, you don't mourn them. You don't sit shiva. Right? Why? Because they deserve to die. You might be sad. You're allowed to be sad, but they deserve to die. You don't sit shiva in the normal way. You don't mourn. So therefore, by David mourning, by Yisabel alav shalom, he was sending a message to everyone, this was an unjustified killing. It was not appropriate that he was killed. If it was appropriate, if it was justified, that's like Misa's based it. He rebelled against the king, right? Morid b'malchus, yischaiv Misa, then you don't mourn. By Yisabel, David is mourning. What does that mean? That sends the message. We did something wrong. We did something inappropriate. It was unjustified. Avshalom's death. That made Yoav upset. Pasuk Gimel. Vatehi atashua bayom ahu le'eva. So the great happiness and joy over the salvation, the defeat of Avshalom's army, which created so much joy, turned to mourning. B'chol ha'am, for the entire nation. Ki shama ha'am bayom ahu le'mor. Because everyone heard. The king is distraught about his son. He's distraught about his son. So it's a sad thing. All of that joy turned to mourning. Now the others, Yoav was expecting him to be upset. Yoav knew that. The others weren't even expecting him to be upset. Right? The other Jews, the other soldiers, what did they know? They didn't really understand the complexities here, you know, behind the scenes. So they were just disappointed. Because they expected him to be happy and pleased. They came back from battle, all these soldiers put their lives on the line. They came back from battle. And now they expected the king to greet them and to be happy. And now the king is sad and crying and mourning. They're extremely, you know, put off by this. And what? Correct. Even Shaul, right? Even Shaul, who was out to get him. He's still mourned. Correct. You know, people have short memories. You know, that's the truth.
Maybe they feel the king wasn't, he didn't feel that they did a good job or whatever it was, because he's saddened by it. So maybe he felt that, you know, the people felt that.
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's exactly what they felt. They felt that they had done something wrong, right? The king's crying. We did something we thought was good. We come back, we expect, you know, a parade. And meanwhile, we come back and now the king's crying and he's upset and he's distraught. That's not what our goal was.
They're not just Yoav, but the people also.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's what it says. L'chol ha'am. Pasuk Gimel, right? L'chol ha'am. Everybody was sad. Pasuk Dalet. Vayisganev ha'am bayom hahu. Lavo ha'ir. So everyone now who was coming back to the city after the battle, they snuck in stealthily, right? Kasher yisganev ha'am hanichlamim b'nusam b'milchama. And the Mepharshim say, Vayisganev. Just like a thief. How does a thief move around? Not in the open. Not, you know, hey guys, I'm here, right? He slinks in. He slinks out. quietly under the radar. That's what people did. This was the returning victorious army. They were expecting to come in with a parade, with cymbals. They came in quietly, stealthily, because they heard the king's upset, right? They came in quietly, just like, as the pasuk says, just like people who are running away from battle, not the ones who won the battle. The ones who won the battle usually come in excited. The ones who ran away, what are they? You know, they sneak back into their house and pretend that they were watching TV the whole time, right? That's what these people did. They snuck back into the town. Okay, so that's what happened. Now Yoav sees all this. Yoav sees all this, and he's upset. Pasuk, hey, v'hamelech lo'at es panav. The king is covering his face. Acts of mourning, right? Atifas harosh. Avelim used to cover their whole heads, you know, in mourning. That's what he's doing. He's covering his face in mourning. Vayizak hamelech kol gadol b'ni Avshalom. Avshalom b'ni, v'ni. And he's crying out. He's not stopping. My son, Avshalom, my son, my son. Pasuk Vav. Vayavo Yoav el hamelech habayis. Yoav had enough. And Yoav marches right up to the king's palace. Vayomer, and he says, Hovashta hayom es pnei chol avodecha. You've embarrassed. You're embarrassing all these people. These people who put their lives on the line to protect you, to save your household, your children, your wives, your concubines, everyone. All these soldiers put their lives on the line to save your skin. And this is how you're reacting? This is how do you think they feel? You're embarrassing them. You're embarrassing them. And says the Malbim for four reasons. One of them is in this pasuk, and we'll see the others in the other coming pasuk. Number one, he says, don't delude yourself, says Yoav to Dov. Don't think, oh, my son, he didn't want to kill me. I wasn't at risk. Yoav says, baloney. Baloney. Right? Come on. Of course you were at risk. Because if he wanted his kingdom to last, he would have had to kill you at some point. Even if that was not his original intention, and he was your son, he didn't want to kill you at first, he would have had to kill you at some point. There was no way that the two of you could have survived and he had his way and be the king. It wasn't going to happen. Because he has the din of a rodes. He's a marid b'malchus. He's eventually going to kill you if he wants to be the king. He's a rodes. So he killed him, justified. And not only that, but he slips in v'nefesh pilak shech. He says, look what he already did to your concubines. Remember? Right? Remember Avshalom slept the 10 concubines of David. That's how he treated you? You think you weren't at risk? You think you were just going to live happily ever after? You know, with him as king and you would just be on the run somewhere? That's not, don't delude yourself. It's not true. That's number one. Pasuk Zion. Le'ahava es sonecha ve'lisno es ohavecha. And he says, you're perverting everything. You're loving your enemies and you're hating your loved ones. Ki higata to hayom, ki ein lecha sarim va'avadim. You're sending the message today. I have no officers. I have no servants. You guys are meaningless. Ki adati hayom ki lo, ki lu avshalom chai v'chulanu hayom esim, ki oz yashar be'enecha. You're sending the message. It's, you know, if we were all dead and Avshalom was alive, that would be good. That would be good. That's what you're saying with your crying. That's what you're saying. Says the Malbim number two. Even if you claim he did not want to kill you, right? But still, who were the people that were supporting him? Your enemies. Your enemies. So you're basically colluding with the enemy. All of your supporters would have had to be defeated, even if he would have kept you alive. But he would have had to defeat all your supporters, right? And your enemies would have been, put up on a pedestal. That's number two. Number three, says the Malbim, even if you're okay with that, because you say he's my son. Right? He's my son. Okay, so if that's what has to happen, fine, that's what has to happen. He's my son. Says the Malbim, and this is fascinating. You're the king. If you're the king, what comes first? Your son's interests or the interests of the nation? Says Yoav, the nation comes before your kid. The nation comes before your son. Very powerful. This is the Malbim, how the Malbim understands the pasuk. If you're the king, you have to think of the entirety of the Jewish nation before you think of your son. So even if it's okay, because it's my son, but it's not okay, because this is Bnei Yisrael, and you're the king, and you have to put their interests first. You know, we find this sometimes. We have, just in the news, right? Who was it? There was a senator, I think, Was it Cruz? I think it was Cruz or Marco Rubio. One of them went on vacation when, right? Remember this? He went on vacation with his family. It was Cruz, right? Ted Cruz. He was on vacation. It was the blackouts in Texas or something, right? He went on vacation. He was excoriated, right? How do you go on vacation? You know, your whole half your state, I'm sorry, is in darkness. You know, it's a state of emergency or whatever, and you're flying away to wherever he went, to Hawaii or wherever he went to, right? You know, so he said, my family needed the vacation. I was just going to take them, come back. You know, he gave some sort of advice, right? You know, some sort of an excuse to get out of it. Okay, fine, right? But at the end of the day, this is attention. You're a public figure. You have a certain responsibility. Your family has needs. That's nice, right? But to a certain degree, if you're at a certain place and you're in a certain position, the interest of the people come first. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu did do that. That's right, right? He didn't stay with his wife. He left his wife temporarily. Why? Because he was the Navi. Hashem needed him to be on call. He didn't mal his son because he was worried about the traveling in Bnei Yisrael, right? His son needed a milah. Tzipora did. She said, forget about you. I'm going to do it, right? So there were times, you're absolutely right. Moshe Rabbeinu put Bnei Yisrael before his family, right? It's not so simple. And most of us, we would say, of course, we're not going to put our families, or we're not going to put our jobs before our families, but this is not a job, right? If you're the leader of the entire Jewish nation, you're the melech. This is not a job. This is not a profession. This is your life's calling, appointed by the one above, appointed by the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's your responsibility, says Yoav. Yoav is giving Moser to them, right? He says, this is number three, right? This is reason number three. Who? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? And that
is the second son that died for
David. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Now, the four. Right, that's also true, right? Aaron knew that it wasn't his responsibility. David felt partially responsible here, right? Correct. Very good. Now, point number four, says the Malbim here, is that, you know, the battle would have continued. This battle would have gone on until one of the sides was successful. That's when the battle stops, right? When one of the sides wins and one of the sides loses, okay? So if you're upset when we're still alive and he's dead, you're basically sending a message, and this is what the end of the pasuk is saying, you're basically sending the message that you would have preferred the opposite outcome. You would have preferred had we died and he was still alive. That's what you're saying. I'm sorry? How is that different from the second point? The second point is more about just, you know, the second point is la'ava sonecha, the least know is o'avecha. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Right, that you're propping up your enemies. Yeah, I mean, it's a little more dramatic here because he's saying that literally we would have been dead. You know, and that's why the pasuk says, ki ein lecha sarim ba'avad. Right, it's almost like, you know, you're saying that your servants are meaningless. Your officers, we don't care. I don't care about you. I only care about my son. I don't care about you. So now this is a big deal. Yoav is saying, you know, you're causing great embarrassment to your soldiers. They put their lives on their line, on the line, and you're the ata. And he says, and now, kum tse. Yoav says, David, get up and go outside. V'daber alev avodecha. Talk to the people, and you got to talk to them. Ki ba Hashem ishbati, because I swear to Hashem, ki ein chayotze im yolin ish itcha halayla, because he says, if you don't go out, he says, no one's going to stay with you tonight. All these people that are your supporters, they're going to leave. If you don't go out there and you don't reassure them and you don't give them a good pep talk and get them back on your side, they're gone. V'ra'a l'chazos mikol ha'ra'a sheba alecha minorecha adat. And this is going to be the worst tragedy that has ever befallen you from the time that you were young until now, right? Why? Because until now, David has always had support. Sometimes it was more, sometimes it was less, sometimes it was only Shevet Yehuda, not Binyamin, not the rest of Klal Yisrael. Okay, he always had support though. But if your own soldiers are going to feel, your own army, the ones who fought for you just now, are going to feel disenchanted, they're going to feel abandoned, they're going to feel meaningless to you, because of how you're reacting to the death of your son, then they're going to leave. And then you won't have anybody. You won't have any support. And that's going to be the worst that you've ever experienced. Pasuk Tes, we don't hear, David doesn't say any words to respond to Yoav, but he acts. Vayakom HaMelech Vayeshev Basha. So David, it sounds like, here's what Yoav is saying. Right? Here's what he's saying. He's, you know, he has some good points. He has some good points. So he gets up and he goes outside and he sits in the gate. So the word spread very quickly. David's outside. And I guess this was maybe a place where David would address people from. The king would address people. So they said, he wants to speak. And everyone comes. Everyone gathers before the king. The Yisrael nos ish lo alav. Now this is interesting. It says that they all ran home. Now we already said they ran home. We said that already. Right? We said already that I think it was plus a gimel, right? What do we say? Vayiskanev or something. Pasuk Dalu. Vayiskanev ha'abayim ha'u lavo ha'ir. They already came back. We knew some of the chavar, right? They already came back. So why are we repeating now that they came home? So it says the Malbim that really, we'll see in a moment, that everybody kind of scattered because of this. They weren't gathered together. Like here, people are coming out to hear what he has to say, but there's no unified force here. And now, we're going to see that they're going to agree to return David to Yerushalayim and, you know, put him back as the king, reinstate him as the king over Klal Yisrael. But right now they don't have the means to do that. There's no WhatsApp groups, right? They can't just get everybody back. Everybody's back home. Everybody's scattered already. So they don't have the means to even do what they want to do right now.
It seems to be about the process.
Yeah.
And then it says Yisrael must Yisrael Allah.
Yes, very good.
Contradiction.
Okay, good, good, good. So I believe, I'm not sure if it's in this pasuk, maybe it's in a different pasuk, I don't remember, but I think that the Mefarshim say here, I think that that when it says Yisrael, it's referring to Avshalom's people. that meaning all of David's soldiers, all of his army, they came out to hear what David had to say. Avshalom's supporters, even though right now they agree, Avshalom's dead. So let's reinstate David as the king, right? They're not going to now pick a new leader. They're going to go back to David. But they were already home. That's a good point. Thank you for pointing that out because that clarifies it. They were already home. So David's men worked together, but this was really more a unified feeling, but they weren't unified because Avshalom's supporters were gone, right? They had scattered. Very good. Okay. Oh, Rashi. Yeah, Rashi says it here. If you look at Rashi in the Pasuk, I think Rashi says that about the Yisrael Nas. He says it's referring to those that followed Avshalom, the people that supported Avshalom. Okay. Pasuk Yud, Ayhi chol ha'am nadon b'chol shivtei Yisrael emor. Everybody in Klal Yisrael, now they were arguing with each other. They were arguing, right? What were they saying? Hamelech yitzilanu mikafoy veinu. Right? This king, David, he's the one who all these years saved us from our enemies. B'hum ilatz tanu, mil tanu, mikaf plishtim. He's the one who saved us from the hands of the plishtim. And now he fled. He ran. He's on the run. Right? Keep in mind, by the way, where is David right now? Right? He's not in Eretz Yisrael. Right? He's east of the Jordan River. Okay? I think he's around Machanaim. I think that's what we said, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's he's around Machanaim. But he's miles east of the Jordan, not in Eretz Yisrael, not near Yerushalayim right now. Right? So everyone is saying to the, you know, that this it's a little crazy. We have a karas hatov to David, right? He saved us from our enemies. How could it be that he's displaced? How could it be that he had to flee? Pasuk Yud Aleph, ve'avshalom asher moshachnu aleinu meis bamilchama. And these are Avshalom's supporters talking. And Avshalom, who we appointed as our king, he died. He died in battle. Ve'ata lomo atem achrishim lahashiv es hamelech. So what's taking so long? Avshalom's dead. It's really, we feel kind of embarrassed because we do have a lot of Akaras Hatov to David, who saved us all the years before, who won all these battles for us before, right? Who defeated the Plishtim before. So if we do have this sense of Akaras Hatov, and Avshalom's now dead, we gotta hightail it, you know, and get David back to Yerushalayim. We gotta do this quickly, okay? So they're kind of, you know, trying to negotiate and trying to get this going, get this started. But again, it's everybody's very fragmented right now. People are all over the place. There's no leadership. Okay, pasuk Yud Beis. Ha'melech David sholach el tzodok v'elev yosar ha'kohanim le'mor. So David sends for his two of his trusty advisors, Tzodok and Avyasa, the Kohanim, and he says, Dabu el ziknei Yehuda. He says, I think we need the elders, right? The people are not organized, they're not unified, they're not able to do this. We need the elders to be able to do it. Lama siyu acharonim lehoshiv es ha'melech el beiso. And tell the elders, why are you guys schlepping? You want to be the last people? Why do you want to be the last people that are going to return David to his malchus? Udvar kol Yisrael ba el ha'melech el beiso. And everyone, the messages and the words of whatever Klal Yisrael were saying was being relayed back to David, back to his house. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Achai. And this is again, still the message to the elders. Atem atzmi uvesari atem. You. And again, these were the Ziknei Yehuda, what Shevet is David from. Yehuda, right? So he says, you're my brethren, you're my family, Mishpacha. Shevet Yehuda. Why are you guys going to be last? Why are you going to be last? You're my Shevet. You should be the first ones to come and bring me back to Yerushalayim. Now listen to this. David pulls a fast one. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vila Amasa Tomru. And go to Amasa. Go to Amasa and tell him, Halo Atzmi Uvesari Ata. You're my brother. You're my family. Koyase Elokim Echo Yosef. I swear, im lo sartzava tihiyeh lefanai kol hayomim tachas Yoav. He says, I swear that I want to appoint you as the new general in place of Yoav. Why did he want to replace Yoav? Because
he was afraid of Shalom's army and take them over and fight them.
So that's not, the Mefarshim here, the Radak says that's not what he was afraid of. Right? That's not, he actually wasn't afraid. He was upset. He was upset. He was upset at Yoav. He was upset at him. Why? Because who orchestrated Avshalom's murder? Yoav. So he was angry at Yoav for getting Avshalom killed. And again, he may have, you know, Yoav had some good points, and that's why he went out and talked to the people, because he realized, you're right, I can't lose all my support, right? I have to talk to these people. I have to get them back on my team, right? And I'm the coach, you know, I'm the captain. I gotta rally the troops, but I'm still mad at you. I'm still upset. Because I'm still grieving of Shalom's death, and you're the one who caused it. So he says that I'm gonna replace Yoav with Amasa. Who was Amasa? Amasa was his nephew. Right? That's why the pasuk says Atzmi uvesari ata. He was his nephew. He was Abigail. The Metzudas David said Abigail was David's sister. We spoke about this in the past. Abigail was David was. Well, there's different Abigails, but one of the Abigails is David's sister, and they had a child. Amasa. I'm sorry. Abigail and her husband had a child. Amasa.
More than
who? Because Yoav married Bemalchus by doing what?
Well, you caused.
Is that Morid? Well, I don't know if he was Morid Bemalchus. He didn't violate anything David said, right? He didn't violate anything David said. He went a little further than David wanted him to go. He didn't want him to kill Avshalom. I'm not sure if that's a Merida though. Pasuk Tesvav. Vayat es levav kol ish Yehuda ki ish echad. So he was able to get everyone to follow all of the ish Yehuda, all of Shevet Yehuda to follow David. And now Radak says this was Amasa. Amasa was able to rally the troops and get all of Shevet Yehuda to follow David. Vayishlechu el ha'melech shuv ato v'chol avodecha. And he sent a message to David. It's time for you to go back. You and all of your servants, time to go back. And he said, it's interesting that I think it's a machlokas between the Radak and the Metzudas David. The Radak seems to say that Amasa has the ability to unify all of Shevet Yehuda, but the Metzudas David seems to say that it was really David. David had the ability to do it. And he says, that's why it says it in the singular, Kol Ish Yehuda, that he was able to convince them, just like you can convince one person of something. It's not so hard to convince one person. Convince a whole room is a little harder. But he was able to convince the whole Shevet as easily as you can convince one person. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Vayoshov HaMelech Vayovo Ad HaYardin. So the king travels west towards Eretz Yisrael. He gets up to the Yardin. Vayovo Ad HaYardin. Yehuda Bo HaGilgala laleches likras hamelech lahaviras hamelech es hayardi. So, and Shevet Yehuda traveled to Gilgal. Gilgal was on the western side of the Yarden. We're still in Eretz Yisrael. They traveled to Gilgal in order to escort David back home, back to Yerushalayim. Pasuk Yudzayin. Now listen to this. Someone comes out of the woodwork here. Look at this. Pasuk Yudzayin. Vayimaher Shimi ben Gera. Oh, good old Shimi ben Gera. Right? Comes out of the trees on the side. Ben Ayimini, right? We know he was from Shevet Binyamin. That's why he was so angry at David last time, because he was really a supporter of Shaul and of Ishbosheth, right? And that's why he came out. Remember, he cursed David. He threw rocks at David, right? All that, he treated him terribly. Asher mi Bachurim, he was from Bachurim. Vayered im Ish Yehuda likras hamelech tov. And he jumps along the bandwagon, right? All of Shevet Yehuda is running to be the first ones to greet David. And Shimi ben Gera from Binyamin, right? He leaves his Shevet in the dust, and he joins up with Shevet Yehuda to be out in the front to greet David. Now let's see this. Pasuk Yudches, ve'elef ish imo mi Binyamin. Now he didn't come alone. He brought 1,000 men with him from Shevet Binyamin. Ve'tziva nar be'shol, and Tziva, who was one of the young men of the house of Shol, nachameshes asar banav, his 15 sons, 15 children, the Yesrim Avadav, his 20 servants. He had a whole entourage he took. V'tzolchu ha-yardein lifnei ha-melech. And they split the Yardein in front of the king. Okay, so either means they crossed the Yardein. Radak says maybe they crossed by foot. It was a very shallow section. They were able to walk through it. They went before him, just like servants go before their master. Rashi seems to say they actually split it, that they took their shields and they kind of built two walls in the Yardein to hold back the water or to divert the water, and almost left a path in the middle of the Yardein for David. That's what Rashi seems to say that they did. Pasuk Yutes, ve'ovra ha'avara lahavir es beis hamelech, and there was some sort of a barge or a raft or a boat that crossed over to transport the king and his entourage, ve'lasos hatov be'enav, to do good for him. The Shimi ben Gera nafal lifnei Amelech beovro bayarden. Now David Amelech is crossing the Yarden, coming back into Eretz Yisrael, about to reclaim his malchus, and Shimi ben Gera falls down in front of him. Radak points out here that there was a boat for because David had his whole family, he had his children, wives, so that's why they had a boat here. But Shimi came. Why did Shimi come? Right, he's not going to hurt him this time. He's not going to curse him. He's the king. He's coming to ask Mechila. He's coming to beg Mechila from him. Pasuk Chaf, Vayomer el HaMelech al Yachshov li Adoni Avon. He says, please, don't think about the sin that I committed. V'al Tizkor, Eis Asher He'eva Avdecha, Vayom Asher Yotza Adoni HaMelech Yerushalayim, Losum HaMelech Elibo. He says, please don't think worse of me than anyone else, says the Mitzudas David. I was just following Avshalom. Right, I was just following Avshalom. I'm not like so much more terrible than everybody else. Even though he was the one who cursed him, but threw rocks at him, I'm not sure everybody did that. Right, he did distinguish himself a little bit, and then he says, and even that which I did on my own, I cursed you. I went above and beyond everybody else. But that's al tizkor. That's the double language. Says Mitzudas David al yachshuv li adun yavon, and then the al tizkor es asher heva. That's the double language. Don't think of me as any worse. I was just part of the Avshalom camp. And number two, even that which I distinguished myself, I cursed you, right? Please don't hold that against me. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, ki yada avdecha ki ani chatasi. He says, I know that I sinned. I did something wrong. V'hinei vasi ayom rishon l'chol beis Yosef l'redes likras Adoni HaMelech. He says, I'm the first one from my whole shevet to come here to greet you, right? I rushed here to greet you. I want to ask you mechila. It's interesting. Calls it beis Yosef. Right? But why was he from Beis Yosef? Normally Beis Yosef, I would have said, is Menashe. Ephraim is Beis Yosef. Binyamin, right? But the Radak says, yeah, Binyamin. Pashup Shad, Binyamin is the Beis Yosef also. And that's the Pashup Shad. The Medrash, the Radak says, is that he's throwing in Yosef here. Why? Because he says, think back to the story of Yosef. What happened in the story of Yosef? His brothers treated him terribly. How did Yosef react? Don't worry. Don't worry, Hashem sent me down here. I'm not going to do anything to you. I'm not going to hurt you. And that's what happened, right? So Shimi ben Gera is throwing Yosef in here. He's saying, remember how your great-grandfather Yosef, right, you know, acted. Act in the same way. Act in the same way. True, I did something wrong. Don't take revenge, right? Don't get back at me. And now Rashi points out that he's not just saying I'm the first to arrive. He's saying I'm the first and I'm also an example. People are watching. You know, here he throws in a little leverage. People are watching how you're going to treat me. If you treat me well, that's going to bode well for you. People are going to say, oh, he's a nice king. He's benevolent. If you treat me not well, people are going to see that also. You may not have the same support. So Rashi learns he's throwing in a little bit of a leverage there. Nothing. I mean, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill Shimi. David didn't let them. David didn't let them kill Shimi. Okay, but he's still, you know. Who knows? Maybe he was waiting for the right time, you know. Now he's king again. There he's on the run. You know, who knows? Right?
In that case back then, he says, I must have deserved this to be cursed.
David also, right? That's what he said. Exactly. Right. Metzudas David also points out these are the first two steps in the tshuva process. Right? What's Shimi's language? Ki yada abdecha ki ani chatasi. Number one, I know, right? And I'm admitting it. I regret it. I regret what I did. I admit I did something wrong. Right? It shows incredible submission what he's doing. Now, David, before David even gets a chance to respond, Vayan Avishai ben Tsruya. Right? Avishai ben Tsruya, okay, also one of David's generals, chimes in here. What do you think he's gonna say? Vayomer, Hasachas Zos, Lo Yumas, Shimi, Ki Kilelas Mashiach Hashem. He says, well, he shouldn't be killed. We should kill this guy. Right? He cursed you. You were the Mashiach Hashem. You were the anointed one on Hashem. You're the king. You're the king appointed by Hashem, right? Just because now he's asking Mechilia. Now he's asking Mechilia, right? Now when he realizes you're the king again and he's in trouble, now he's asking Mechilia. Now he's showing his humility. Now he's submitting before you. That's not enough. We should kill him. Lop off his head. His sin was too great. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Vayomer David in his characteristic patience and humility. Come on, what do we need this for? Today, I'm going to become the king again. Now we should start killing people? Right? Now we should kill someone? Come on. Today is not the right day. Today is not the day to be killing people. I'm just becoming the king again. Right? It's not right. Now, says the Metzudas David, part of what he means to say is, listen, today's the first day. I need to set a good example. I need to have a positive tone of my malchus. I don't want to now start my malchus again with killing. I want to start my malchus with shalom, with goodwill, with good feeling. That's what I want. Otherwise, you know, and he's worried about his support. He wants to be supported. He doesn't want people to run. Everybody's very fragile right now, right? So he doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. He says, you know, you're asking for the wrong thing. Not what I want. Now Rashi sticks in here that he says originally I thought, like I think Aaron pointed this out. Originally I thought, maybe Josh, I remember. Originally I thought that you have a great man. Shimon ben Gera was a big person, right? He wasn't just a stam low life. He was a big guy. He was a big person. And why would a great person like this curse me? Must be that Hashem stripped me of the malchus, and Hashem instructed him to curse me, right? That must be what's going on. But he says, now I see that, no, I'm still the king. If he's asking me for forgiveness, that means he did something wrong. That means I'm still the king, right? So he's almost thankful that Shimi's coming to him. Because if Shimi's coming to me now and asking for mechila, that shows that Hashem is still selecting me as the melech. I'm not going to kill him, right? And Hashem is sending it. So it's a message from Hashem that I'm still the melech. So that he's very happy. Vayomer ha-melech el Shimi lo samus. So David says, Shimi, you did something wrong. Thank you for asking Mechila. I'm not going to kill you. You can relax. And he swears. I say, I swear I'm not going to kill you. You can relax. Let's move on in peace. Let's go on in peace. And this is characteristic of David HaMelech. As great as he is, Shol, Shimi, Avshalom, right? All these people who were out to get him, and he has this characteristic humility and patience. Yes, 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 Mordechai, that's right. He descended from Shimi. I don't know, right? It could be Shimi had children already, we don't know. Maybe, maybe, maybe. Unless he already had kids, I don't know, we don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know, I don't know. I'm not sure, I hear you, yeah. Okay, all right, we'll stop here for tonight. And Amir Tzashem, next week we will pick up with the second half of Perek Yotes. Have a wonderful night, everyone. Thank you.